afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I am classic Pat Francis with a twist of lime.
And I'm new Gary Lucy, now sweeter.
Joining us, as always, is Matt Belknap, the silent, not so partner.
Yes.
Kyle's here.
Kyle's here. It's always great. Kyle, you bring a very calming presence.
Yep.
Yep.
I love that. Kyle has a great t-shirt on today. It's Walt from Breaking Bad's face
with Bane's mask.
With Bane's mask on it, and then it says in the Breaking Bad font, it says Breaking Bat.
Get it?
Hey, Kyle.
It's a pop culture mashup.
It is. It is a pop culture mashup.
Pat, I move. We keep the grab assing to a minimum up top here because we got a big show.
We do. We got a big show. We got a guest.
Unless you had some grab
assery. I'm ready to jump right in.
Okay.
We got...
this is exciting.
Stop talking about it and do it.
We have a gentleman today.
Yes.
And he's self-proclaimed, much like the Michael Jackson, declares himself the king of pop. This gentleman declares that he is the king of TV. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Paul Goebel.
Paul, welcome to Rock Solid.
Thank you for having me here. So you're saying no one has ever called Michael Jackson the king of pop except himself.
Self-proclaimed.
So no one has ever said
that. No, they did after he proclaimed himself that.
After he said that.
Yes.
Well, then that was reaffirmed, and therefore he was proclaimed the king of pop by all. Not just himself, but by everybody. I mean, somebody has to be the first, right?
Self-proclaimed.
Somebody called George Washington the first president.
Well, that's because he was.
Yeah. After he said, I'm the first president, and everyone agreed with him, then he was the first president.
Is that how he got elected?
Just claimed it.
They were like, we need a president. He said, how about me? And they went, okay.
But he just called shotgun, and he was it. He was
either way.
You know what, though, about Michael Jackson? A lot of people continued to use the self-proclaimed, what I would consider a disclaimer. Like,
yes.
They didn't, like, people call him the king of pop, but a lot of people
do
for years were just kept calling him the self-proclaimed king of pop, because right. I think they resented the fact that he sort of
called
chose that title
yeah.
for himself.
But that's the only reason I said.
How was he not the king of pop, though? That's the other thing.
Exactly.
Well, the Beatles.
Why are we putting
that's four guys. Four guys can't be king. That's
they're the kings of
definition.
Pop. The kings of pop.
No.
They're the four dukes.
Paul, we don't need to put you on the defensive here. You are.
I was on a defensive as soon as I walked in that door.
Now, I got to tell you, if you hear any
thudding
or humping or bumping, there's apparently an acting class next door, and it's chock full of models. So I don't know what they're doing over there, but I wish I was over there.
I think they're working on the rape scene from The Accused.
Something's crazy.
There's a pinball machine over there.
They're working on their runway walk over there.
Someone just got a high game on that pinball machine.
So. I just got asked where the bathroom was by like a good looking version of Naomi Watts. This way, man, pretty lady.
I just saw a hot dude when I walked in.
Yeah, I saw that guy too.
Fellas too.
Yeah, move over, Mike Siegel. This dude is in town. So, well, obviously, a couple weeks ago we had the comedy film nerds on, and we mm-hmm. talked about movie soundtrack songs. And with Paul Goebel here today. Obviously, we're going to be delving into classical music.
Yes.
Clearly.
We're going to be talking about...
self-proclaimed king of classical music.
We're going to be talking about our favorite TV theme songs. So the ones you picked for your list, Paul, those are some of your favorites.
Yes, they are.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So what we do here, Paul, I don't know if you've heard the show...
Oh, this is a show?
Yeah, we're actually recording right now.
Oh, I thought we were just fucking around talking about Kyle's awesome t-shirt.
No. That's actually a great band, though, Kyle's awesome t-shirt.
That's another
They
podcast.
Opened up for My Morning Jacket. It was fantastic.
That's a podcast I have. Uh-oh. We just talk about Kyle's t-shirt. He walks in and we're like, nice.
Nice. Here we go. 3 minute, nice little mini podcast. So how many songs do you have on your list this week, Gary?
You know, 5, 6, something like that.
5, 6. How many do you have, Paul?
I have 8.
I have 8 also. Mm-hmm. So, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start, and then we'll just go around.
Yeah, that sounds good.
This way, and we'll get it going. So, what I did, Paul, anything you want to promote? You doing anything, Paul? I know you have a podcast.
Well, yeah, I have my own podcast, The Paul Goebel Show.
Right.
We're up to like episode 315, something like that.
It's just a free form conversation about whatever happens.
Well, it's mostly we talk about TV.
Yeah, generally. Just free form in it. Well, what about whatever?
But mostly about TV.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know,
television,
cooking.
We just did cooking shows. We just did our fall preview episode with the Battleship Pretension guys. So
Boo! I thought we were just booing other podcasts. Yeah.
So if you want to find out what's good to watch, listen to my most recent episode. We reviewed all the new shows. It's good. And then the week before that was the Emmy show, which was fun.
Cool. Those guys are nice, except a little pretentious.
That's the name.
Okay, let's get this kicked off. Here's what I did. I decided that I would take my favorite TV theme song from each decade, starting with the 50s, because apparently in the 40s, no television.
Nope.
So
there was, but there was nothing on.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird. So I was just, the 40s theme was just going to be. But this show, when I was a kid, I loved this show.
You're old.
Yeah, I'm old. Well, I watched this show in reruns.
You are the oldest person in the room.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, this show was, 1959. And, this was, only what, 5 years before I was born. But the show was still on. The show is called Bonanza.
Yes.
And let's hear the theme and we'll talk about Bonanza. Three gay guys living with their dad.
Here comes Pop. You know, no one could ever find the Ponderosa Ranch because they kept burning the map at the front of the ranch.
I know.
Halfway there, the map burns.
There's
up.
So many great
self-combustible. So you didn't have the version where Lorne Green sings the lyrics?
No, because that wasn't on the show.
That's true. That wasn't the version.
So that's why.
But they did sing it in an episode of the show. They're out. There's an episode at the end where they're all, it's without music, but they're all out working and grab ass and they sing the song to each other.
I love any show where every week the main characters wear the same clothes.
Yes.
It adds it's a lovely continuity thing. But now what was that? There's so many jokes about Bonanza. First of all the sons, Hoss, Adam, Little Joe, they all have different moms.
Right.
So what is Ben Cartwright killing his wives?
Not just Ben, but everybody. If you watch an episode, if you watch Bonanza, it's almost like every other episode is about one of the boys, especially Little Joe. Is in love with a woman
who gets killed,
gets
or dies,
murdered, or blown up, or trampled by horses, or something like that.
Yeah.
So they have really bad luck with women.
But then, about every five shows, they'll have that comedic episode, like Hoss is in the pancake eating contest,
right? And you can tell it's funny because of that funny music.
Yeah, right. And then the other thing, I don't know if people knew, but I'm pretty sure three of the four actors wore toupees on that show.
Well, Purnell Roberts was like one of the few who didn't, because he was, I don't know, for some reason, it was weird that...
I thought he did wear a toupee.
No, he was losing his hair, but I don't think he wore a toupee.
And Dan Blocker wore a toupee, but like a very, like, one that made it look like he wasn't one, because you go, that's a terrible toupee, that looks like he's bald. Yeah, right. It's just a little wispy.
And Lorne Green, of course,
wore
one, but not... Not
Michael Landon.
Is beautiful.
He's the man, isn't
magnificent
he?
Magnificent.
That short green coat and the brown pants.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Fucking Little Joe kicking some ass. So that's my Bonanza. A lot of talk.
Paul, what do you got?
My list is just about songs that are awesome. Not I didn't watch a lot. Some of these are shitty shows.
That's okay.
Some of them are good shows, but they're because I listen. I have my iPod loaded up with TV theme
How many
songs.
Do you have in there?
Just TV theme songs? It's like 500.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's just like every TV theme song I come across, I put it on my iPod and I listen to it. And
you got the Breaking Bad TV theme in there?
Wait, no, because it's just...
I love it, but you put it on a continuous loop.
But you know what? In Song Pop, they play it, and there's apparently a longer version that you never
hear. It's unrecognizable.
It's such bullshit. Yeah. How am I supposed to identify that? You just have to learn it.
No, you're right. And then there's like... I don't know if I've been playing Song Pop a lot lately, but when they play the Wonder Years theme, there's like that very quiet, soft Joe Cocker thing at the beginning. I'm like,
and it's not a song. It's just a groaning sound.
Yeah, and like 4 seconds later, you're like, oh, Wonder Years, right. I got it.
Yeah.
No, I hate that.
There's a lot of that bullshit in that game.
The first song I got on my list is
Suck Pop.
Is the theme to Cowboy Bebop.
What?
Cowboy Bebop is an anime show.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm sure Kyle, the nerd, knows about it. but it's an anime show from Japan. It's very popular. And I've never...
Kyle, the nerd.
Of course.
I've never watched an episode of Cowboy Bebop, and I'm not into anime at all, but it is a great song. And I'm sure the song exists independently of the show. But it's just an awesome jazz number that is really kick-ass. And you may have heard it. If you've gone to a comedy show, you may have heard it, because people always love to play it before comedy shows because it gets the audience going, I guess.
All right.
And the best part is the guy talks at the beginning before it kicks in.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
It definitely sounds like it's a TV theme song, though.
Yeah, it's pretty kick-ass.
Got it?
That is awesome.
Right? Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the cartoon is...
Is the cartoon good,
gun
Kyle?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm imagining a lot of busty assassins. Is that...
Not nerdy enough, Gary Lucy.
I know there's a lot of guns. There's gunplay in the show.
Like space bounty hunters.
Space bounty hunters.
Space bounty hunters.
Are they busty in any way?
No, they're mostly men.
Oh, okay.
It's not Aeon Flux.
That's what I'm thinking of. Well, any chance I get to play Big Star, you know I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So from those first seasons of That 70s Show, I think they used the original version of Big Star for In the Streets.
And then they went to Cheap Trick.
Then they went to Cheap Trick and they changed it to, instead of In the Streets, it was called That 70s Song.
Yeah.
But probably Alex Chilton probably got a couple shekels from it. But
sure.
This is the original In the Street. Let's hear a little bit of this. Get back in this back seat, Wilmer Valderrama.
That's right. Cool. I've never heard that song before.
Oh, is that right?
I've never heard that version. That's the original version.
That's the original version.
There you go.
That's very cool.
Glad you like it.
Nice.
I guess who's the king now? Not me.
Big Not at all. Star is the name of that band?
Yeah, Big Star.
Big Star. You never heard of Big Star?
I never have. No.
Oh, you got to check them out. Yeah, you'll go crazy. Your head will explode.
Great.
Oh, I got new things to download now.
Nice.
Illegally, of course.
We are now going to jump to 1966. I am 2 years old.
Yes.
I don't think there's a better theme song that is more simplistic and yet nails it than this one. Hit it, Matt. A lot of fake punching going on here. I was going to bring the lyrics so we could sing along, but I forgot to print them up.
That's a Neil Hefti joint.
That's Neil Hefti. I used to love when, in the third season, when Batgirl's thing came across. Even though it was animated and even though it was just like a piece of cardboard that they would slide across there.
Yeah. Still gave you a boner.
Still sexy, yeah.
Well, remember, when I was a kid, I watched it in reruns and they'd show them all out of order, so you never knew, and it was almost like a surprise.
Oh, a surprise, yeah. You're right.
It's like at the when she would come over, you'd be like, oh, it's a Batgirl one. And you knew
it was one episode. It was a single episode. There wasn't going to be a cliffhanger.
Right, it wasn't a two-parter. And you were too dumb to know that those episodes really were kind of bad.
Right.
those last season episodes where they were just barely hanging on. Did you know, I always like to bring this up when the Batman is brought up, Batman got canceled, and then they were shopping it around to other networks.
Okay.
And they took it to another network, and the network said, we'll take it as long as we can use the original sets, because we're not going to spend money to rebuild those sets.
Right.
And they were like, great. And they like literally ran back to the set and they were bulldozing it as they run onto the soundstage and they're bulldozing and taking everything down. And that was the end. And they said, I guess we can't do it.
Because that Batcave set is pretty damn cool.
It's fucking cool. Nuclear pile and all that shit. It's awesome. Slide down the ladder.
Bat poles and all that stuff.
Now, Neil Hefti, he wrote a bunch of TV themes, right?
What did he do? The Odd Couple.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Neil Hefti, he was very prolific and good jazzy themes too. Yeah. I like the bat band theme. That's the bat dance one. It goes doo doo dee doo 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 in the middle and stuff. It's a little more jazzy.
All right,
less bam and pow in it.
Now your last song was Cowboy Bebop, and now this next one is kind of like a cowboy theme title too.
Yeah, it's called Gunfight Epiphany. I don't know why. But that's the name of it. And it's the theme to Terriers. And the two things have nothing to do with each other.
What is Terriers?
Terriers was one of my favorite shows in recent history. It went one season on FX.
Okay.
Starred Donald Logue. And it was about two guys who were sort of private detectives. They weren't licensed or anything, but they were like budget private detectives. It was a great show. It was really well written and well acted. Had a great story. Unfortunately, I guess what FX said is they had no idea how to market it.
Yeah.
And no one knew about it. Nobody watched it. And they even like looked into it when their ratings weren't there. And they're like, what do we do? How can we keep the show on the air? And they like held, like they were doing research and they asked people, what would get you to watch this show? And everyone's like, I have no interest in this show. And so they had to shit can it. And they even said, they put out a press release, said, we're very sorry, but we have to cancel this show. But the theme song, again, was an awesome one that had nothing to do with the show, but it's just very cool, I think.
It also had our friend Jamie Denbo was in that show.
I heard that they were going to pick it up, and then when they went over there, they were bulldozing all the sets down. And so damn it.
Well, that's just because there was an actual house that they were shooting in, and this guy lost his... got shut out, and his mortgage.
So it was Donald Logue, and who was the other actor?
Michael something. He has three names, but he was on the first season of True Blood.
You're the king of TV. You're supposed to know this.
Yeah. I'm just supposed to know more than you.
Oh.
Do you know the guy's name?
No.
Yeah,
there you go.
Michael something something.
Michael Raymond James.
Absolutely.
That's his name.
Philip Michael Thomas.
Michael Raymond James. Are you looking it up, Matt?
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
Check this out, what he's going to say.
Michael Raymond James.
Motherfuckers!
All right, well.
It was a great show.
Wasn't it?
It had a full, like, there was a, it seemed like an episodic detective show, but then there was like a storyline that went throughout the season where they were like, it just kept getting deeper into this kind of real estate scam.
Yeah, and it had a good internal story, like between Michael Raymond James and his wife.
Yes.
And their thing. And then Donald Logue and his sister, played by his real sister.
Right.
When she came on, there was all, and then also his ex partner, who was still a cop. Really good relationship.
His ex wife. His ex wife came into it. Yeah. It's like a really well thought out and well developed show. And
brilliantly acted.
Michael Raymond James.
Donald Logue is, I think, is one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood. He's really brilliant actor.
He was awesome. The Dow of Steve.
Let's hear the song. What do you say?
Let's do it. Gunfight Epiphany. Mm. It's got a little Dick Dale feel. Yeah,
right? Because it was set in the beach. They lived by the beach.
I don't think I ever heard this much of it. Because, again, they showed like 10 seconds of it in this.
Yeah, this is not the one they used on the show. Because they used a short version on the show, and I sought out a longer version. I heard.
Cool.
Because awesome. When I watched the show, I was like, that's got to be a song. Who does that song? And I looked it up, and I found out it was written specifically for the show. It was never released. And I was like, what? And they said it's called Gunfight Epiphany by these guys. So I looked up and I found the long version and downloaded it. Nice. But they, I think they played, oh, they would play that version at the end of the show, but okay. of course there was always talking and bullshit over right. the end of the show.
Nice. Sounds like a deconstructed Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, I like what you're doing here.
It kind of was, yeah. They were like Hawaii 5-0 if they weren't cops and had no money.
Cool.
I always felt like it was, if you ever watched Veronica Mars, it was like a cousin of Veronica Mars. Like it's similar setting, mm-hmm. just more, you know, adult, but cool. Yeah. Yeah, cool throwback to like Magnum PI type stuff.
It's a shame that they had to bulldoze the set.
Yeah, it's a shame. What are you going to do?
It sucks.
Matt, I'm going to skip ahead one here. This, okay.
What? Why, Gary? What's so wrong?
Just I want to, you know, just shake things up a little bit. Don't All worry. Right. Don't worry. All
right. Calm down.
Calm down. This is this is like a women's studies class, an entire semester packed into 1 minute.
That's what's going on next door. Yeah. Woman's studies class.
I'm talking about like, you know, you can get a degree in feminism just by listening to this okay. tune and hit it, Matt Belknap.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really could.
Get it?
The first burner, and in fact, she showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And when the country was falling apart, Betsy Ross got it all sold up.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then
that uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
Right on, Maud.
Oh, that is a funky brew.
Definitely. That's my ringtone.
Is that right?
Yes. Maud is my ringtone. If you call me, that's what you get. That's what I hear every time. Now, who sang the theme to Maud?
I don't know.
You guys know?
No.
Michael Raymond, whatever.
No, Donnie Hathaway.
You're kidding me.
No, oh, my God.
The great legend Donnie Hathaway mentioned in that song Rehab.
By, yeah, exactly.
And how did he die?
He burned in his bra.
Burning his bra.
No, he jumped out a window.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I would have guessed drugs, but he jumped out a damn window.
He killed himself. I think he might have been on drugs, because why else would he jump out a window?
But, was it, what floor was he on?
Oh, second floor. He jumped out and then got hit by a car.
Oh, jeez. Like,
and then a bulldozer. He got bulldozed.
And they were going to do another song.
Song. They were going to do another song.
They bulldozed Donny Hathaway.
Damn it.
Maud is one of my favorite themes, not only to hear, but to sing. Yeah. It is a fun song. Yeah.
Paul, you sing. Do you want to sing something for us today before the show's over?
Oh, I mean, I never turned down an opportunity to
maybe you can close. Maybe you can close out. Maybe you have a theme song, right? Maybe you could sing that for us.
That's true. I do have my own theme song to the Paul Goble
show. Maybe we're
going to
do that at the end. We'll see what happens.
Are there any other shows where, remember in the old days when the guy would sing the theme to his own TV show? That's why I did that. I wrote the theme to the Paul Goble show years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And I always just wanted it to be my own personal theme song. Mm-hmm. I'd have people play it when I'd come on stage. But now it's the theme to my my podcast. And I'll tell you this. When I recorded my 200th episode, I sang it live. Sounded exactly the same. I still
haven't lost a step.
Absolutely not. I still got the pipes.
You'll never jump out a window like Hathaway, who obviously lost his voice.
Clearly. I mean, I'll jump out a window, but not to kill myself.
Right.
Just to say, look at me, just to get
attention. did Kelsey Grammer sing the Frasier theme? I know he wrote it, but
did
he also sing it?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. That might be the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
Jimmy Kimmel.
Very few.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Fallon actually sings the theme to Guys with Kids.
Oh, that's
since he produces it.
But, wow, interesting.
And you better listen to it quick, because it ain't going to be on much longer.
Oh, predictions.
That's one of my predictions. Yeah, that show sucks.
Pat Francis.
All right. I'm pretty sure. I have two songs from the 70s. I'm cheating a little bit. But I picked this first one because I'm pretty sure. Did you tell me once this song makes you sad, Matt Belknap?
Oh, it's incredibly depressing.
This makes
just,
you really...
Just the sound of the notes makes me sad because, okay. It's a bummer.
Before we started, Kyle, lock the windows because we are on the second floor and we don't want to lose our producer. And let's listen to a little bit of the song that makes Matt
sad. I wonder why a song called Suicide is Painless would bum me out.
Let me tell you something. This is a... I'm going to call this song M star, A star, T star, T.
Matt.
Just for Matt.
What?
Is it a match?
I don't know how to read.
I don't know how to read. Now, this song does have lyrics, but not this version.
Right. They sang it in the movie.
Right.
Not on the show.
I just like that little ding.
That's like finger cymbals or something.
Thank you.
Has anybody seen a MASH lately? Do they hold up?
Let me tell you something.
Good question.
I have the entire series on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 years ago, I said, I'm going to watch these start to finish. Mm. And I did.
Wow.
And every night, my wife would come home from working hard while I was in semi-retirement.
Yes.
And she would go, how many episodes of this show are there? And there's like, what, Paul? Like 200 and something?
Yeah, the show lasted like 10 times longer than the actual Korean.
Yeah. Yeah. So what my point is, out of the entire series, I would really only say there were like four that I thought were clunkers.
Huh, interesting.
Because I was expecting, okay, this guy's leaving, still pretty good. This guy's leaving, still pretty good. I think it really holds up and is really solid.
And there's a noticeable change in tone also.
Right, there is.
When different characters leave and when Larry, I guess when Larry Gelbart left, there was a big change in tone there. The lyrics to the show, I mean, you think it's a sad song without the lyrics, holy fuck. The lyrics are so depressing.
I know.
They make you want to kill yourself. And I actually, if you love the
lyrics.
Well,
that's because it's suicide.
Yeah, suicide's about, yeah. If you want to hear the lyrics, you can always order my CD off of my website because I sing the theme to MASH on my CD.
And you're paying royalties on that song.
Absolutely. As we speak, I'm paying royalties. I sing the theme. And the scene in MASH, I think, is they're having a mock funeral for Painless the Dentist.
Yeah.
And that's why they sing that song.
The best thing about the DVDs, Gary, to go back to this real quick, is you can watch the episodes without laugh track.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, that's
and
great.
That's the way to do it because the laugh track is unbearable.
Yeah, especially the first few seasons.
So overpowering.
It's
so
crazy.
Yeah, watch it. Now,
they make a deal though? I feel like I heard this recently that they had a deal like with the network that they didn't have to use laugh track in any surgery scene or anything.
Anytime they were in the OR, they said no laugh track. But when they're outside in the first few seasons, it's like loud.
I know. And you're watching, you're like, well, this is outside. Yeah, not a studio audience following the camera crew around.
Yeah. And also because nobody does that anymore. That's the other weird thing. There's no laugh track anymore, so it seems so out of place.
I know. Can you imagine watching The Office and there's a laugh track? It would be out of control. Like
I miss it. I wish they had it.
I don't know when to laugh without it.
My next from the 70s real quick is I picked this one because I think this not only works as a TV theme song, but it also works as just a song. And this is a...
Oh, we're playing back-to-back for you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, two in a row. Huh?
Big sorry.
Sure.
John Sebastian from The Lovin' Spoonful, who Gary loves, The Lovin' Spoonful.
Love The Lovin' Spoonful.
Welcome back.
I spoon The Lovin' Spoonful.
For your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you...
This song was a legitimate hit, too.
Yes, it was.
I think I had the single.
I had it. Whatever you say you had, I'm going to go, so did I.
Oh, yeah? I have all the episodes on VHS.
Yep, I do too, without laugh track.
Or without horse shack.
I actually do have the Welcome Back Cotter action figures. I have every one of them.
Wow.
And Washington is still on card.
Oh, good for you.
Mint?
It's not mint. It's a little old. But I have them in my Welcome Back Cotter play set.
What?
That my girlfriend...
What?
It's in my living room.
Where?
Well, right now.
When?
and Cotter, and I like to think, because they're all sitting at their desk except Washington, and I like to think that Washington is frozen in carbonite by,
yes.
by Woodman the Hutt.
By Woodman the Hutt. That's hilarious.
Now, I love it. You have to call Robot Chicken and get this thing in the works.
Right? Well, I was watching the other day, and they were doing an A-Team thing, and they were using the same dolls I have, the same action figures I have for my A-Team set. They were using the actual A-Team dolls. It was pretty cool. To see.
How come you don't have a show at your house with your dolls?
Oh, that's too much work. I can't do all that. I used to, when I used to do those things for comedy.com or .com, NBC, I used to do interviews. I had an interview with Henry Winkler and an interview with John Travolta, and I would use the dolls, but no one watched that. No one cared. Here's a piece of trivia for that song, Welcome Back, Cotter.
Mm-hmm.
When they originally wanted the song, when they wanted a theme song, they hired two people to do one, John Sebastian and another guy. Who was the other guy? Popular artist in the 50s.
Michael Raymond Raimondo.
I'm going to... 50s artist? I'm going to say Fabian.
That's a great guess. You're very close.
Frankie Avalon?
Dion DiMucci.
Okay, sure.
Oh, yeah.
That makes
I bet
sense.
His version was good.
Brooklyn guy.
I heard it once. It's okay, but it was just called Cotter. And the show was originally called Cotter, but John Sebastian wrote that song.
And then they changed the name because of the song?
Yep. They changed it to Welcome Back, Cotter, because he says, Welcome Back. Nice. That's the one they used.
Nice. Interesting.
And I heard a story. Who did I have? I had somebody on my show. Who the fuck was it? They were no good. But they told a story about when someone went to see like Gallagher or somebody in concert.
Yeah.
And John Sebastian opened for him.
Okay.
And got booed off the stage.
What?
What?
Wow. Oh, no. It was Dangerfield. He went to see Rodney Dangerfield in concert. And John Sebastian opened for him and they booed him off the stage. Can you believe
That's
that?
That's terrible.
No respect.
Exactly.
Literally no respect.
Gary, you're up.
Wait, skip Paul?
No. Gary, you're up.
Okay. I get to go.
He talked so much, I forgot that he didn't play a song.
My next song is from a show. It was a Stephen King show. Not based on one of his novels, but an original thing. Like, he tried to make a show, and it, like all Stephen King things, it sucked. any Stephen King thing that's not one of his books, the show totally sucked. But it had a great cast. Ed Begley Jr. and Andrew McCarthy were on it. And it was called Kingdom Hospital. But again, the song has nothing to do with the show. It's just a great song.
Your songs are like deep album cuts.
Right.
This is great. Begley on guitar.
Sounds familiar.
Bye bye, baby. Don't be long. I worry about you while you're gone. I worry about you while you're gone. I never know just what you
kind of like a Portishead jam or something.
Do you know the artist on this?
I have no idea.
Well, we'll find out.
I looked it up once, because I thought they were.
Did you give up? You were on Google and you typed Kingdom Hospital theme song. Ah, fuck it.
I went theme song. Kingdom Hospital theme song, and I said forget it.
Then a bulldozer came in and ran over my computer.
The thing is, the premise for the show, he got the idea when Stephen King got hit by that truck and almost died.
Right.
He got the idea for this show or this story when he was in the hospital, and then when he came out, he wrote it down, and I guess someone said, let's make a show out of it, and they did, but it was fucking, the show made zero sense. Andrew McCarthy, of course, was terrible on it, and it was just bullshit, but I remember watching the first episode and going, man, that theme song is great.
That song is called Worry About You by Ivy.
Ivy, of course.
The great Ivy. I have all her records.
Ivy is a couple of dudes from Fountains of Wayne. In there.
Oh, it is?
For real?
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Because I love Fountains of Wayne. They're like my favorite.
There you go. And that's why this rang true for you.
Very nice.
Nice.
I'm going to stick with the mod feminism tip, but this is kind of the Riot Girl version of mod, the animated version of mod.
Let's do it.
It was from the Daria show on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
There's a great group, song. A group called Splendora, and it's called You're Standing on My Neck.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I've got to be direct. If I'm wrong, please correct. You're standing on my neck.
Anyway,
that's a great song.
Who did the voice of Daria?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Matt?
Great question. I'll look it up. I did. I thought that was a song that they just created for that show.
So did I, because it's so perfect for the show, and the chick singing sounds like Daria.
Yeah, exactly. That la-na-na.
I heard they were bringing that back.
Oh, really? That'd be nice.
I heard a rumor they were like doing new episodes.
Well, because they did that run recently. They had a little marathon.
Yeah, right?
It was like Twitter-fueled. Like, if they got enough hashtags, they would play another episode or something.
Yeah.
I always found it weird that Daria was in the Beavis and Butthead universe, but they were not in her universe.
No. It was one of those weird things where it's a spinoff, and yet... it was, you know, totally different animation.
Yeah.
Totally, like, she had all these friends who were not in Beavis and Butthead.
She had
her sister and all those guys.
Daria.
Daria was voiced by Tracy Grandstaff.
Grandstaff. She always had, like, a Janine Garofalo-type delivery, kind of, right?
Yeah, that was, you know, it was popular at the time.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
The time. Now, as men, we're tired of that bullshit.
Enough.
Keep your views to yourself, ladies.
We've
with views.
Enough.
Francis.
All right. That's
okay.
What do you got, Pat?
This is 1982. Mm-hmm. And there's just
what grade were you in?
82. I was graduating. I graduated high school in 82.
Nice.
So, you know, at that time, I just wanted a place, man, where I could walk in and people might know my name.
Jesus. No, no.
Yeah. Gary Portnoy.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
It does, man.
Did you record
tough.
This off of your television?
No, terrible. I stole this from YouTube.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
This is a song you could probably buy on iTunes.
Yeah. No, they didn't have the original version, though. Yeah. They had some version like, by the TV Hitmakers. I'm like, no.
Yeah, the TV Hitmakers.
I'd rather steal it than give them
money. Again, that's what's in Song Pop. There's like a cover version.
Yeah,
of
it
terrible.
Sucks. Yeah. You can see trouble's all the same. You want to be where
everybody knows your name. You wanna go. So this doesn't have that crazy second verse.
The second
that I
verse
love.
Where...
The little kid hung the cat up by its tail.
Someone's yeah. gay.
Cat's in a basket in a gun.
Isn't someone gay in the second
yeah.
verse, too?
Your husband, your wife wants to be a man. I think.
Right. Like
and your son has turned out gay.
Your son's Michael Raymond James.
Watch Terriers, please.
And then there's the even shittier version when it was syndicated. Remember the syndicated version? They cut it. It would last.
Just jump right
it
into
just
right
into
chorus.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
We go, sometimes exactly. you want like yeah. the worst edit ever.
Add another commercial in there.
Yeah, so they could cut it, make it shorter. Because you gotta. By the way, none of you guys have friends on your list, right?
No.
Pat.
Well, we're coming to the 90s next.
You son of a bitch.
We'll find out.
Wow. I thought you meant people you know. No. Like, you guys have friends who wrote TV theme songs?
I don't have any friends.
I'm friends with Bill Conti.
Facebook friends, right? Is that what
yeah,
you mean?
We're buddies.
I could be wrong, but I always thought that Cheers theme must have been like, they, you know how like in TV and even in film, uh-huh. sometimes they have the whole sound-alike thing where like someone says to a guy, I want this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with that one, they were like, I want Piano Man. Yeah. Just give me a Piano Man. And then they did that song.
By way of Taxi.
By way of Taxi.
Work with it.
No, oh, that's a good theme. Absolutely. Taxi. Gary Portnoy was a big TV theme song guy. He also did Punky Brewster.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. How's that go?
Classic.
Maybe that'll
if you
be
order my CD, you find out because okay. I sing it. Yeah.
How much
CD.
Is your CD, Paul?
The Greatest Hits of the King. It's only $7, dollar postage and handling.
So $8.
$8. Well, yeah, unless you want me to give it to you. If you want to come over and get it, save yourself a buck.
You should have brought a couple of those. You could have signed them and we'd give them away.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because who would want them?
I don't know what that means. Paul, maybe the world is blind or just a little unkind. Don't know. Seems you can't be sure of anything anymore, although...
You may be lonely, and then one day you're smiling, and then...
Is this Punky Brewster?
Every time I turn around,
I see the girl that turns my world around.
And then when she got older, huh? Punky Boobster, right?
Boing.
Jesus.
They were fucking big. Even after she got them reduced.
Yeah, still gazongs.
Salil Moon Frye. She was pretty hot.
Yeah, shoot the Moon Frye, huh?
Who was her brother? What? Her famous brother?
Reverend Sung Young Moon.
Martin Fry from ABC.
It was Mino Peluse.
Mino Peluse.
Who's that?
He was on Best of the West, right?
And Voyagers.
Right, yeah.
He was the kid on Voyagers. You never watched Voyagers?
Does he got big boobs?
For a guy, they're pretty big. Cool. For a dude.
Now, I have a great interest in this next tune. What do you got here?
Yeah.
Oh, for me?
You're reading the...
Oh, yeah.
You're reading ahead, so mm-hmm. am I.
Mm-hmm. My fourth list is...
You got four lists?
Yeah, I'm going to be here all day. My number four song is the theme to Life with Lucy. And now, Life with Lucy was Lucille Ball's last sitcom. It was her last try at TV. It was in the 80s. She was super old, of course.
That's always funny, slapstick by an 82-year-old.
Right? And she was a grandmother on this show. So,
and what rock solid favorite played her granddaughter?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Jenny Lewis.
From
Rilo Kiley.
From Rilo Kiley. Oh,
nice.
Anyway.
What would the jokes be like? Oh, I peed my pants.
Well, it would always, she was like, you know, irascible. And like, I remember in the opening credits, she's on a treadmill. They show her on a treadmill. But the one thing.
From the waist up.
The show was no good. And I've heard a ton of stories. You know, it was one of those things the network was like, we got Lucille Ball. And they fucking, you know, ran ahead with it. But the only thing that was decent about it was they got Gail Gordon on the show as
Ooh,
well.
Ooh, Mr. Mooney.
Yeah, they reunited them. And that was kind kind of good, but it
Terrific.
Was just, it was clear those days were over. But this is, the theme song is sung by Edie Gourmet.
Nice.
And it's like the last of the, these kind of theme songs.
This was back when old people ran Hollywood. Yeah,
exactly. It's exactly what it is.
My God.
Wow.
I know.
Big band.
Every day I'm better than I ever was before. Every day I'm loving, living more and more. Every day hope leads to possibilities galore. Every day is better than before. How you feel depends on
this is good.
Isn't that cool?
Better than the show.
It was much better.
What
you do.
It's mostly up to you. It's true.
The song is also very uplifting.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the MASH theme.
It's true.
That is the antidote to my depression.
Yep.
Yeah, you just do it. It makes you feel good, just like Lucy did.
Lucy's great.
And now...
National Treasure.
That was when Lucy sounded like your mom.
Yeah. That's his grandmother.
That's right.
So Nana made you this monkey. A big hug and a kiss to you, Lucy, because we love. And my mom's name's Lucy.
Who's on that shirt, Kyle? Who is that? No. It looks like Uncle Fester.
Let's go to Olive Garden and get Raviola. My mom is like Norm Crosby. She mispronounces everything. If it ends in an O, she ends it in an A. And if it ends in an A, she ends it in an O. Like, she's like, we're going to go to Olive Garden tomorrow.
I saw Marla Thomas there.
Like, awesome. If I talked to her today and she'd go, what'd you do today? And I'd say, I recorded a podcast. She wouldn't ask what a podcast is. She'd just go,
Is it because she doesn't want to seem stupid, or she just
doesn't want to know?
She wants to let Pat know how little she cares about what he's doing.
Exactly.
Move on. That's code for move on.
I've told this story before. They came out here to visit, and I took them to see a show I was doing with Pardo at the UCB.
Parda? And Jimmy Parda?
Jimmy Pard. No, she calls him Pardo.
Pardo.
Puts the accent wrong.
Because probably once you said it's not Parda, it's Pardo. Yeah, and she's like, well, I'm going to emphasize it.
Pardo. So after the show was great. We were all funny. It was a home run all the way around.
Okay.
So what they said was they complimented everyone in the show but me. And then they said, thanks for bringing us.
But then the next day, didn't she?
But then the next day, Pilar, my wife, said, how was the show? They're like, great. And they go, oh, Pat was really funny. And my wife said, did you tell him that? Oh, no, we didn't. And she goes, maybe you should tell him that. Then for the next 3 weeks of their visit, that show 3 weeks ago, terrific.
By the way.
Yeah, by the way, in case we haven't mentioned it 2 days ago, funny.
What a great wife, though. That's my ex-wife would have never done anything like that.
Well, and that's why she's your ex-wife.
Yeah, I guess so.
Move on.
Kicked her to the curb.
What's next?
This is like one of those things that it's like, is it the coolest thing or the uncoolest thing? I don't know. I think... You decide. It's Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh.
And what else but Beretta? Come on. Honestly.
That is not one of us making that noise.
No, it's not. It's not the acting class either.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head. No.
This is Billy Crystal, right?
In blackface.
Don't do the crime.
2011.
Do the time.
When I was a kid, I couldn't get over the fact that the song was called "I the Sparrow" and Beretta had a pet bird. I was always like, that must be a connection, but it's not a sparrow. It's a cockatoo. But why would they do that?
And the lyric doesn't even make sense. What does that mean? Keep your eye on the sparrow when the going gets narrow.
Yes. Be careful. Watch your ass, I guess.
It rhymes. I've never heard that.
These are just hip phrases that he's trying to teach you, white kids.
That's true.
And then not only was there a cockatoo, but then what was the name of the pimp in the show?
rooster.
Yeah. So it was just
yeah,
like
it's a very,
birds
it's a
all
bird
over
theme.
This thing.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr. for some reason loved TV themes. I have a lot of Sammy Davis CDs, and on one he sings "My Mother the Car."
Oh wow!
And then he sings "Bewitched," very popular. And then I saw this clip on YouTube that I downloaded onto my iPod. It's him singing the theme to Chico and the Man.
Wow!
On a TV special.
Beautiful theme.
Yeah, it's a great theme, and I always like wow. Sammy just he would just sing whatever
he'd
the
sing
fuck.
Anything.
He loved to sing, and he loved theme songs. And the best part is when you if you find a clip on YouTube, he's introducing the song and he's like, I think you'll recognize it. He doesn't even say it. He doesn't even say the name of it, because of course we all know the Chico and the Man theme is huge.
Yeah.
Very
Sammy's
popular
cool.
In the 70s. Sammy was the best. I was listening to him on the way here. Oh. And I like how
today?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on I have my iPod is loaded with Sammy Davis Jr. Mm. But he was playing some song and I was thinking about how great he was, and I just thought, well, I guess when you learn to sing and dance before you learn to read,
yeah,
you probably grow up pretty fucking talented.
I mean, the closest thing we have to him now is Jamie Foxx.
Now,
that guy's a triple threat.
I thought you were going to say Wayne Brady, because Jamie Foxx is actually pretty talented.
Yeah, well, I'm not making fun. I'm not trying to.
But
well,
he can't dance so much as Sammy did.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, did you guys ever see that Rat Pack? That shitty Rat Pack movie on HBO
with Don Cheadle?
Yes.
Yes.
That movie sucks. But that scene where Don Cheadle does that song and he sings and dances in front of a big sign that says "nigger," it's fucking great.
Wow.
You said that.
But I'm referencing the in the world. Okay.
Well, we're going to edit it in a way that you just say it out of the blue.
Our guest today is Paul Goebel.
Nigger.
Over and over again. No, that movie sucks, but it's the only number in the movie for some reason, but Don Cheadle, he kills it. And I think he got nominated for Golden Globe for that.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Nice.
Yeah.
No Wayne Brady, but anyway.
He's no Wayne Brady.
So, my next one from the 90s is the one Paul Goebel said that he hoped no one played.
You son of a bitch.
You don't like this song?
It was so overplayed. How are you not still sick of it?
It is, but let me tell you something. Well, I just brought it because it's of a time period. And when we would watch the show, that part would come on, and you would clap at home, wouldn't you? Go,
no. Well, first of all, I hated Friends when it first started. And if you go back and watch that first season, those episodes are not very good.
Okay.
It wasn't until they actually became friends that the show got good.
You mean Friends off camera?
Yes, when they became real life friends, they had a chemistry.
The real reason to watch Friends is because the studio they record in is so chilly that Jennifer Aniston had some things.
Well, she's made it clear. She used to when she would go in for auditions, she would ice her nipples because her nipples are so
when
big.
When did she make that clear?
she
couldn't be in an interview.
No, I'm saying like people who knew her when she was auditioning, she would literally be in the audition room with a cup of ice getting ready before she went in. And I mean, more power to her because it got her the work because she has great, great boobs and big ass Greek nipples, but she would do that to go in.
Hopefully,
I mean, how do you not get the job?
Hopefully we can edit this in a way that it says the N-word and then in a way
big
that
has Greek nipples.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I want.
That's my favorite dish at the Olive Garden.
just play like 2 seconds of it. The Rembrandts, the best and worst thing to ever happen to the band.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Just have to hear the clapping. Let's get to the claps.
Let's get to the clapping. We'll all clap and shut it down. And Paul Goebel did not clap.
I clapped under the table.
Yeah, because you were thinking of the big nipples.
I was clapping with my wiener.
I like that you say she has made it known.
She's made it clear.
That's what she
has never denied it. I'll say that she's never denied.
No one's ever asked her that.
People that she knew growing up.
Hey, ice nipples.
Hey, they called her.
No wonder Amy Mann called you an asshole to your face.
Not Amy
Mann. Who?
Leslie Mann.
Leslie
Mann. Sister.
Well, Amy Mann.
Boy, if Amy Mann called me an asshole, I probably would rethink that. I'd probably go, man, I got to check myself. But Leslie Mann,
give
I'll
her
tell
time.
You this.
Give
when Leslie Mann called me an asshole, I had a friend, I won't say his
this
name.
We were talking about this before we started.
Oh, yeah. If you listen to my podcast, I've told the story numerous times. But I had a guy on the show who used to be on Freaks and Geeks, and I asked him before we started.
Sam Levine?
I'm not going to say his name, but before we started, I
why?
Said.
Why? If he was on your show, why can't
because
you
say I'm going to, you'll find
okay,
out why.
Okay.
But I asked him before we started, I said, hey, you were there that night, the Freaks and Geeks thing. What did I I do to call that Leslie called me a fucking asshole? He goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, and I told him, he goes, gosh, she is such an entitled cunt.
Oh,
he said that about her. And I was like,
all right, add that to the mashup with the N-word.
The N-word and the asshole and the nipples. And that would
I'll say this about the Rembrandt's theme. I mean, yes, it's certainly catchy. And I mean, I found myself dancing just that 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But like you said, the best and the worst thing that happened to him, because they would never be taken seriously after that.
No.
However, they still are making money off that fucking show.
Sure they are, yeah.
Millions of dollars. Because every time that gets played on TV, mm-hmm. they make money.
Yeah.
And it's getting played on TV right now as we speak.
Yep. And I think Friends was just released on Blu-ray, so they're getting money from that.
Those fucking guys. That's all it takes.
They wouldn't have been anything without that.
Did that one great song, remember Roll With Me? Do you remember that?
Wasn't that Delamitri?
You're right, it is. Yeah. Fuck the Rembrandts. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I mixed them up because I saw them on. Anyway.
That's okay.
Yeah, so Rembrandts got nothing.
They would have been that band that did Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes, exactly. It's Deep Blue Something.
Deep Blue Something.
Yeah, exactly. What was it? Deep Blue what?
Deep Blue James Ray.
Deep Blue Something.
Anytime I get a chance to play this, I love this song.
Isn't
so
Paul
much.
It's Paul's turn.
I'm going to wait. And wow. Does. I was just.
All right. Well, my next song is. From Boardwalk Empire, which is, you know, a very popular show, and it's I love it because it's a cool song, but also it's very just like a lot of Martin Scorsese projects, the song is anachronistic to the show. It doesn't fit in the show, electric guitars and whatever. And it's the song is by the Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Oh, groovy!
Which is a pretty cool band, and so and it's a good it's a great song. It rocks. And unlike a lot of songs on my list, I love this song and I love the show. And the song kind of sets the mood for the show. I always sit through the opening credits so I can hear the song because I love it. And also, when I found out it was the Brian Jonestown Massacre, I loved it even more because I love that documentary, Dig.
Dig is the best.
It's so great and so funny. Those fucking guys are the worst. They're just a bunch of assholes.
Just self-defeating.
Oh, you could, according to Leslie Mann, you could join their band.
She thought I was the lead singer of that band.
It does really fit, yeah, the feel of the show. Did anybody watch that Birdwalk Empire?
I heard about that. Yeah, the Sesame Street
Sesame
parody.
Street version with... ducks and seagulls and stuff in it.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Every couple of years they like to bust that out. Like they had the Mad Men one.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Parody just for the parents.
Just for the parents. Anyway.
Sesame Street. They'll probably bring that up now with this whole "I like Big Bird, but I'm going to fire him" thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Bring that back.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to do a Hung parody on there. Sesame Street.
Grover does have a huge cock.
Well, I thought it would be Snuffleupagus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure, why not? This, I think...
Bird, look what's between my legs.
Wow. No one can see it.
Only Big Bird can suck that cock.
Oh, man.
This is our filthiest show ever.
This is not TV friendly.
Hey, Bird, put your beak on it.
Oh no!
This is TVMA.
Go ahead, Gary.
This I played way back on Rock Solidopedia Volume A.
Wow!
But and I was happy to bring it back because it's maybe my favorite TV theme by the Edrizi Brothers, and it's for Nanny and the Professor.
Oh, hold on a second. Let's drop this in real quick. Rock Solid Rehash.
And sweet, wise and wonderful, ooh, our mystical, magical Nanny. Since the day that Nanny came to stay with us, fantastic things keep happening. Is there really magic in the things she does? Or is love the only magic thing that Nanny brings? You know our name.
I just love the fake psychedelic feel of that.
And that's a little Davy Jonesy in there.
I like when they go, the dust is only love. I love that. The Andreessen Brothers were a popular, like, heartthrob.
Yeah,
weren't
yeah, they were like, kind of like Jonas Brothers or something like
and
that.
The, and Nanny was hot.
Juliette Mills. Was so hot. She was great. And it's
weird. Hey, Bird, I've got something for Nanny.
That show was only on like one season, so there's not a whole lot of episodes of it. But her, well, you know who was the star of that show?
Was
Michael Raimondo Phillips.
Dick Long. Richard Long.
Get out of here.
Dick Long was his name.
Someone's moving in on my territory. Bird.
But that was one of the first of the, you know, single bachelor kids and that show. But I thought it was great. It was sort of like Mary Poppins, but I loved it. I remember when FX first started and they had original shows and reruns.
Yeah.
And they showed Nanny and the Professor. It was fucking great.
It's worth watching. Yeah, she had the little hat. Oh, man.
Yeah. Snuffleupagus will bang anything, man. I was with Nanny McPhee.
What? Where does that come from?
Are
you drunk?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Hey, before, when you play this one, be careful, because this song I bought it off iTunes, and it is so much louder than anything I've ever heard in my life.
Well, these guys rock hard.
You know they do. And they love getting bare naked, and they love ladies. Mm-hmm. And this is for my 2000 theme. This is a theme from Big Bang Theory.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools. We built a wall.
They built the pyramids.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Now, after that, it goes on for another.
The longer version is much better because it's like kind of like They Might Be Giants. It's got like a lot of history and like real stuff in it. It's a cool. And, you know, they wrote that song for the show. It's not on an album.
No, you can buy it on iTunes, though.
Yeah, but it's not on a Bare Naked Ladies record.
You can purchase it, though, on iTunes.
Yes, you can. But they wrote it for the show.
Separately for me.
Yes, it's available out there for digital download.
I'm just saying it's rare that an established band will write a theme song specifically to be used on a TV show.
Well, if you think about it, this is available on iTunes.
Well, even if you don't think about it, it's available on iTunes. Really, independent of what you're thinking, it's still...
Yeah, your thought does not control its iTunes availability.
Well, what I'm saying is click download and purchase.
That was always on my list of favorite theme songs.
Big Bang Theory was?
Yeah, I like the
available
show.
On iTunes.
Oh, really? I ought to get it. How does that work, the iTunes?
Well, you just go on there, you log in with the name and a thing, and
whoa, slow down.
Yeah, I'll call you.
Thanks. No, that's a great theme. It's informative, it's funny, it's catchy. I wish sometime they would play the whole thing on the show. But
well, you should just get it on iTunes. And then you can hear it at any time.
Why does somebody not tell me that it's on iTunes?
I don't know.
Where'd you hear about this?
I can't remember. What's next on your list? We got to wrap this thing up.
Next on my list is the theme to Suits, which is a great USA show. It's been on for a couple seasons. I love a lot of the shows on USA, but I don't know. For some reason, when this show starts, the theme song is very catchy, and it always gets me in the mood, and I always sit through it and listen to it.
Wow, that's like some cool late Beach Boys or something.
Yeah, I think it's called Greenback Boogie because that's what they say at the end. But
Greenback Boogie. I'm gonna look that up.
I have no idea what the information is on that song, but it's a cool song and it's a great show. My friend Rick Hoffman is on it. He's brilliant. But I really like the show a lot.
And it's about like guys work at the men's warehouse.
Yeah, and like they say at the end of the episode, they go, "You're gonna like the way you look," and then they freeze.
Hey, this is weird. I was looking at, because I have my iTunes up too, so I can see what I'm going to play, and I accidentally clicked over to where my email is. And Paul, read what my top email says in the subject heading. That's weird, isn't it?
It's from Largo at the Coronet, and it says, John Sebastian invites you to bring friend for free next week.
Wow.
And boo him off the stage? What? That's weird.
Why would they invite that?
Yeah.
Go see John Sebastian at the Largo?
Yeah. Weird.
Welcome back to Largo.
What happens if you go see him and he doesn't sing Welcome Back
to Largo? You should have got more than that, Gary. Gary goes, well, welcome back to Largo.
Yes, I heard it.
That would be weird.
Would you be mad if you went and saw him live?
Because he's only got...
well, at least some Love and Spoonful.
He'll do, some Love and Spoonful songs.
Yeah.
Do you believe in magic? Summer in the City?
Yeah. What did we figure out it was? Because I used to think it was Hot Damn Summer in the City.
Hot Town.
It's Hot Town.
Oh, Hot Town. I thought it was Hot Down.
Hey, what did you think it was?
I thought it was Hot Damn hot Summer damn. In the City.
And I thought it was Hot Time.
That's right. But it's Hot Town.
We all town. Thought different.
Yep.
It is a hot town.
What's up, Gary?
Oh, it's me. Let's hear a little bit of some Waylon Jennings. Speed up to about 120 on this one, because we'll hear the second verse of the Dukes of Hazzard theme.
Much
where he
better.
Talks about he does a little, gets a little self-referential.
Right,
I think.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. I'm a good old boy. You know my mama loved me. But you don't understand to keep a showing my hands and not my face on TV.
And then he laughs. Because he knows it's hilarious.
You could bring that down. Because on the bumper, they would just show like his hands playing.
Yeah, and he was the balladeer. He was the narrator of the
show.
Well,
it was about this time the old Duke Boys meth lab was in a heap of trouble.
I hated the Dukes of Hazzard when I was a kid. I thought it was retarded.
And now you love it.
I quite enjoyed it.
Well, I look back on it with fondness, yes. Although it makes no sense to me how the three of them are cousins and Uncle Jesse is not any of their fathers. They've made it clear that the three of them are cousins.
Yeah.
They're not brothers and sisters. And Uncle Jesse is all three of their uncles. Well,
Uncle Jesse could have two siblings.
Some bonanza.
He had at least three siblings.
Or five. Was Coy and...
Because of the other cousins. That's what I'm saying.
All three of them are cousins, so he has to have at least three siblings to be their parents. And then Coy and Vance come along. They're cousins, too.
When Bo, Luke, and Daisy were kids, like 8, 9, or 10, mm-hmm. Uncle Jesse met them on the internet.
That's what we call a funky uncle.
Yes, brought them over.
Is that why they were constantly using air quotes whenever they talked about him?
Absolutely. Okay.
Uncle
Jesse. Here's my last one. This is my wife's favorite TV theme song. I'm putting this in my 2010 bracket, but this show I think actually debuted in 2008, but I'm cheating a little bit. But this is a theme from Damages called, that's a show with Glenn Close.
Mm-hmm.
This song is called When I Am Through With You, and this is awesome. Pilar loves this.
Jesus.
Little Glenn.
Tambourine in there.
That's intense, brutal. Pat.
Yep, that's the VLA. When I am through with you, there won't be anything left.
My goodness.
That's definitely appropriate for Damages.
Absolutely.
It's a brutal show.
Did you watch the whole five seasons?
No, because I don't have DirecTV, so I only watched the first three on FX. I heard that... The last one especially was really good.
It was good. The season, you didn't see the season with Martin Short then?
Yes.
No, you did. That was the third season. Yeah, that was the third season. He was great.
It was really, it was almost funny to see him be not funny.
It was
almost like you're taking, you realize I'm totally taking this guy seriously, and he was Clifford.
Because as soon as you see Martin Short's face, you want to start to laugh, then he's not being funny.
And he's not just not being funny, but being like a cruel dick.
Yeah.
Like a bad person. He was awful. That's a brutal song.
So, Paul, bring us home here. You could play one or both.
Or you could sing a song. Sing us out.
Well, these two songs are really corny. This one... is the theme to The Loop. And I like it because it's kind of terrible, but it obviously it knows it's terrible. So listen to it and you decide if it's terrible or not.
All the scientists are running around looking for the monkey, but he can't be found because he's down by the pond playing hockey with the kids. And all the mothers are running around looking for the children, but they can't be found because they're down by the pond playing hockey with the monkey. And it's 1, 2, 3. The kids love the monkey. And 4, 5, 6. The monkey's got a hockey stick. 7, 8, 9. Having a good time. Yeah.
That is fun.
Right?
I love it. I like
the original,
that a lot.
On the show, it would end right there, but it goes on much farther. And the show, The Loop, was a hilarious show with Bret Christensen, where he worked at an airline, like in the corporate version of an airline. That's why it's called The Loop. Mm-hmm. And they lived in Chicago.
Which is, there's also an area in Chicago
exactly.
called The Loop.
Thanks. Thanks, Randy. And but he the song had nothing to do with the show. It was
there was
just
no hockey
cool,
playing monkeys on the show.
No. Okay. And apparently, and I remember looking it up, this band who does this sings songs exclusively about hockey. All their songs are about hockey and they're all about that quality.
Nice.
It's a fucking crazy junkyard band.
It's
who
niche.
Just got lucky. Very niche. I'm sure they're Canadian. But my last song is a game show theme.
And let me tell you, the quality of this MP3 was terrible.
We'll
do the best we can.
I have the song on a CD. I have a CD of game show themes, which was really good. But this one I found on YouTube and sent it to Pat. It's called The Wizard of Odds.
It's the Wizard of Odds.
And who sings this?
It's sung and written by Alan Thicke. It's a Canadian game show hosted by Alex Trebek. It was his first game show
totally
that he hosted.
This.
And it's hosted by a Canadian. The theme song is written and sung by a Canadian. It's the most Canadian game show you'll ever see.
Who's a man with the money makes a dark day sunny? Who's a fella every day gives a bundle away? Who's the guy with the prizes that'll light up your eyes? It's never ending. Get a friend and get ready to play.
Hey, 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 hey.
Oh, I haven't heard this in so long.
Wizard of Odds.
Yeah, the wizard is here, make you feel okay.
Hey, 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 hey. That's my favorite part. It's such a corny song, and because you would... Game shows would never do that today.
And they should.
Somebody, there should be words to theme songs, but there's very few game shows that have words. You know, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, all the big ones, they don't. But that is so fun and funny to me because game show themes become iconic, like Match Game and Jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know, people, how many times has someone done that to you? They ask you a question and then go, do, do, do.
Exactly.
But how many times does someone go, hey, Pat?
Yeah, hi.
Do you know, can you say pi to the 10th digit? Go ahead. I'll give you time to think about it. It's the Wizard of Odds. Wizard of Odds. Those kind of themes are gone. And that's one of the things I like about TV themes is they capture a moment in time. You know, like you were pointing out. They embrace the music of the day and, you know, what's going on and unlike some of the shittier music of the time.
Could I coerce
Pat, when
you?
When was the last time someone came up to you and said, my best friend's wife, her butt looks like a blank?
Matt, you were looking for a playout song, I think?
Yeah, I got one.
Before you do that, Paul, could you fancy us with a little of your personal theme song?
Oh, sure.
Can you do acapella? Are you okay with that?
Well, of course. I'm a pro.
Okay.
I can roll with it. It goes like this. And I wrote the lyrics to this, too. Behind the screen, there's a world of pure imagination. Behind the screen, there's a world built for you and me. Take my hand and I'll point you in the right direction towards the world of the king of TV. Self-proclaimed king of TV. I'm the king of TV. That's me. King of TV.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. much.
Right,
that's,
here.
And that's also on my CD, The Greatest Hits of the King, which you can order at thekingoftv.com.
Is that available on iTunes?
Not so much.
Because Big Bang Theory is.
Oh, what?
Thank you, Paul Goebel. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Paul. This was awesome.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Go on Facebook. Tell us what your favorite TV theme is. And like us there and write a review on iTunes.
Absolutely.
Follow on Twitter, Rock Solid Podcast.
Yes. Yep. Kyle, peace.
And thanks,
Matt,
Kyle.
What do you got?
This is one of my favorite shows, and I never would have expected to like this show, but everyone was like, "Oh, it's great! You got to watch it." And it's from, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. We mentioned it earlier, Veronica Mars, and this theme song is by the Dandy Warhols,
sure.
A very successful band, and it's cool because the lyrics perfectly match. I assume that the song already existed, but the lyrics are exactly where the show begins. If you watch the first episode, this is exactly what is happening to the lead character. So it's kind of a cool, like it's a great pull for them.
It's meta.
And it's an awesome song. So here we go. This is We Used to Be Friends.
You talking to me?